¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Save big money on all of your outdoor projects at Menards. Create stunning patios and walkways with our huge in-stock selection of durable concrete blocks, ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast with our easy-to-use design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big money on our 16-inch brick base, cobblestone, or lake stone patio blocks on sale now. Plus, check out our flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at WeightWatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
January 28th, 2026. A courtroom in Chula Vista, California. Mauricius Delay, Maya Millett's sister, the woman who filed the missing persons report, who organized the searches, who fought for custody of Maya's children for 3 years, who has carried this family through the worst half decade imaginable, stands before Judge Enrique Camarena and says the thing that should make every person in that courtroom feel something. She tells him that her parents, Maya's parents, are elderly, that they are living day to day, that they do not know how much time they have left, that they wake up every morning still waiting for justice for their daughter. And she begs the judge not to grant another delay. This case has been riddled with delays from the defense. The defense cites personal family losses as the need for additional time to prepare. Let's still bow to the request of Larry. New trial date is May 11th of 2026. Not far now, but this should have happened a long time ago. It is the latest in the chain of postponements that has stretched this case past the 5-year mark without a single juror being seated. Larry Millett has been in custody since October of 21. He has pleaded not guilty. He has never faced a jury. And Mauricius walks out of another courtroom, having been told again that the system's timeline and her family's timeline are not the same thing. This is the fifth part in our series, and this is the episode about the thing that nobody wants to talk about in the murder case, the wait. The bureaucratic, procedural, soul-crushing wait between an arrest and a trial. A wait that, in Larry Millett's case, has lasted longer than most people's college educations. And the question it forces you to sit with is uncomfortable because it is no villain. The same legal protections that exist to prevent innocent people from being railroaded are the ones being used, hearing by hearing, delay by delay, to keep a man accused of killing his wife from ever having to answer for it in front of 12 people. The delays started almost as soon as the criminal case did. Larry was arrested in October of 2021 and pled not guilty at his arraignment on October 22nd. He was denied bail on November 4th, with the judge citing Larry's past threat against the man Maya had allegedly been seeing. From that point forward, the case should have moved towards a preliminary hearing and then a trial. It didn't. It moved towards a wall. In June of 2022, Larry's defense attorney at the time, Bonita Martinez, declared a doubt as to her client's competency to stand trial. Under California law, that declaration triggers a mandatory pause. The criminal case freezes. The defendant is evaluated by a psychiatrist. And until the evaluation is complete and the court rules, nothing moves. It's a necessary protection. Defendants who cannot understand the proceedings against them cannot be fairly tried. Nobody disputes the importance of the competency process in the abstract. And of course, unless you're a state that just doesn't believe it exists. But in practice, when applied to a case like this, where a family has already been waiting 18 months for any movement, the freeze felt like a second disappearance, this time of accountability itself. The psychiatrist examined Larry, and in September 2022, the finding came back, mentally competent to stand trial. The hearing at which this was formally determined lasted less than 5 minutes. Martinez stipulated to the psychiatrist's findings. Judge Cindy Davis ruled Larry competent. 3 months of frozen proceedings for a 5-minute confirmation of what the prosecution had believed all along. The case unfroze, but the time was gone, and it wasn't coming back. And in January 2023, it brought the preliminary hearing, the proceeding in which a judge determines whether enough evidence exists to send a case to trial. It lasted roughly 2 weeks and featured testimony from over a dozen witnesses. Maya's sister, her brother, JR, her father, her friend Kristen, multiple investigators, forensic analysis, digital evidence specialists, and detectives from Chula Vista Police Department. The testimony was extensive and often devastating. The spellcaster emails, the subliminal devices, the roofie searches, the mileage gap, the deleted texts, the 9 banging sounds on the neighbor's camera. When it was over, Judge Duane Mooring ruled that Larry would stand trial for murder. In his ruling, Judge Mooring cited something specific and damning, what he called a marked contrast between Larry's behavior when Maya had temporarily left in the past, frantic, desperate, relentless in his attempts to reach her, and his behavior after she disappeared permanently, after January 7th, 2021. Larry was calm. He didn't call hospitals. He didn't contact friends. He didn't file a missing persons report. He didn't go out and investigate. He told his family she was locked in a room. The judge found that contrast to be strong grounds for suspicion of guilt. He also found no credible evidence that Maya would have voluntarily abandoned her children, including a daughter whose birthday party she'd been actively planning. A trial date was tentatively set, and then the delays began in earnest. Larry's defense team raised the issue of finances first. Martinez told the court she could not continue to represent Larry if he couldn't pay her. The Chula Vista house, a family home where Maya had disappeared, was heading towards foreclosure. The equity in it was expected to be split between Larry and Maya's estate, but the process was slow and complicated by the probate proceedings. The judge gave Larry time to figure out his financial situation. The trial date slipped. Eventually, there's a change in Larry's legal representation. A new attorney took over the defense. And with a new attorney comes a new preparation timeline, which means more delay. From that point, the history of the case reads like a timeline of broken promises. September 2024, the trial is pushed to July 7th of 25 after the defense requests more time due to financial hardships. April of 25, the trial is pushed again to January 26. August 25, the defense asked for a venue change, arguing that media coverage has tainted the jury pool. The judge denies it, ruling that the defense hasn't shown sufficient evidence that an unbiased jury can't be found in Chula Vista. The defense also requests a gag order, denied. September of 25, the trial is pushed once more. March 9th, 2026, attorneys publicly described this as the final postponement. It isn't. January 26th, the defense requests yet another continuance, citing unspecified personal family losses. Maurice's pleads with the judge. The judge grants the delay. New date, May 11th, 2026. So we're roughly a month out. Right around there, a little bit less. If there's no more delays. And as of this recording, there aren't, but that could change. So count them. The original target was 2023, then it became 24, then 25, then January 26, then March of 26. Now we're at May 26. Every single delay requested by the defense, every single delay granted by the court. Maybe they should get some balls at some point and say, no, 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 no. No more. And every single time Maya's family showed up, sat in the gallery and watched the day get pushed further into the future, and they weren't sure their parents would live to see. The court's victimizing the family at this point. Let's just call it exactly what it is, through delays. And I know this is how our system works. Maybe we should have a system that focuses on not victimizing families indirectly. I don't think it's like sitting there going, let's screw with the family. But maybe we need a little more competency in our judgeship to say no. No, we're going to trial. But again, they have to. Well, there's so many things at play. There's so many damn things at play. It's easy to sit here on Monday morning quarterback going, why didn't you make him do that? Because it could be an appellate issue down the line. If they go to court and it doesn't work, and you don't want that. So you end up erring on delay more than you not. So you don't have those sort of appellate issues. And in the end, who loses? The victims and their families. They lose time. And that's a pretty big thing when that's all you have left. There's an argument, a legally sound argument, that every one of these delays is defensible. A defendant has a constitutional right to adequate representation. A defendant has a right to an attorney who is prepared. Financial hardship in securing counsel is a legitimate concern. Competency evaluations protect the integrity of the process. Defense attorneys have lives and families and scheduling conflicts just like everyone else does. None of these individual delays taken in isolation represents an abuse of the system, but taken together, stacked end to end, delay upon delay upon delay, they represent something the system wasn't designed to answer for. The cumulative cost of procedural patience on the people waiting for justice. Maya's parents are not getting younger. Maurice has told the court that directly. She said her parents are living day to day. She said they wake up every morning still waiting. Those aren't rhetorical statements. They're a lived reality of a family that has spent over 5 years watching the legal system treat their urgency as procedurally irrelevant. The system doesn't have a mechanism for weighing the age of a victim's parents against a defense attorney's scheduling conflict. It's not built for that. And that's exactly the problem. It can be bastardized. It can be used. It can be weaponized. So while the criminal case stalled, other legal proceedings connected to Maya's disappearance have moved slowly, but they've moved. The custody battle resolved in August of 24 in Maurice's favor. The gun violence restraining order dissolved after Larry's arrest made it moot. The probate proceedings to settle Maya's estate still grinding forward. And in January 26, a significant evidentiary development. A judge ordered the release of therapy records from a marriage and family counselor who had treated Maya. Those records had been sealed because under normal circumstances, a therapist's records require a patient's consent to release, but Maya has now been missing for over 5 years. And under California evidentiary guidelines, a person who hasn't been heard from in 5 years is presumed dead. That presumption unblocked the records. Both the prosecution and the defense now have access to what Maya told her therapist about her marriage. Words she spoke in confidence to a professional, never imagining they'd become evidence in her own murder trial. Larry Millette, for his part, has not been quiet. He has maintained his innocence from his jail. He recently told CBS 8 investigator producer in January 2026 that the case will not end in a plea deal, that he intends to take it to trial. His defense has argued throughout that Maya had her own reasons to leave, that she had a professional situation that could have jeopardized her career, and that she had a history of temporarily leaving the family, that no direct evidence places Larry in the act of committing violence against her. The defense has also argued that the extensive media coverage and the press conferences held by police and prosecutors have tainted the jury pool beyond repair, an argument the judge has rejected. The trial, if it begins on May 11th, 2026, is expected to last approximately 3 months. The prosecution will present the digital trails, spellcasters, subliminals. That'll be great. I can't wait for the spellcasters to be witnesses. That's going to be fun. Sedative searches, detailed deleted messages, mileage gaps, phone blackouts, and arguments that Larry Millette killed Maya because she was going to leave him. And he would rather she be dead than divorced. He's got the spells. Or the prosecution has the spells to prove it, allegedly. The defense will challenge the absence of a body, the absence of direct physical evidence, and the absence of any witness who saw Larry harm his wife. Both sides will present their narratives to a jury that will be screened via questionnaire for their exposure to the years of media coverage this case has generated. If Larry is convicted of first-degree murder and the assault weapons charge, he faces up to 25 years to life in state prison. If he's acquitted, he walks out of the courthouse a free man, having spent over 4 years in custody awaiting a trial that kept not happening. Either outcome will be shaped by a delay. A conviction after 5 years carries a different weight than a conviction after one. An acquittal after 5 years of pretrial detention raises its own set of questions about what justice even means when the process itself becomes the punishment. But the outcome is, for now, hypothetical. What's real is the waiting. What's real is Marcy standing in that courtroom, speaking to a judge, asking him to understand that her parents are running out of time. What's real is three children who have been through two custody transitions and will soon be asked to sit in a courtroom while attorneys argue about whether their father killed Mom. What's real is that Maya Millette has been missing for over 5 years. Her body has never been found, and the man charged with her murder has not yet been required to defend himself before a jury of his peers. The system isn't broken in the way people usually mean when they say the system is broken. The individual components are working as designed. Defense attorneys are doing their jobs. Judges are following the law. Competency evaluations are being conducted according to statute. Continuances are being requested and granted within the bounds of legal procedure. Nobody is violating anyone's rights. Nobody is acting in bad faith, at least not in any way that a court has identified. The machinery is functioning. It's just functioning at a speed that has no relationship to the human beings trapped inside of it. Maya Millette told her sister, her brother, her sister-in-law, and a stranger at a law firm, if something happens to me, it was Larry. Something happened. The state charged Larry with her murder, and then the state, the same state that brought the charges, allowed the case to be delayed and delayed and delayed again. While Maya's family aged and her children grew up and the facts of the case sat in evidence boxes waiting for someone to present them. As of right now, as of our recording, May 11th, 2026, that's the date. We're going to bring it to you. A jury is supposed to be seated. Testimony is supposed to begin. The emails are supposed to be read aloud. The spellcaster timeline is supposed to be displayed on a screen. The mileage gap is supposed to be explained. The 9 banging sounds are supposed to be played. And 12 people are supposed to decide whether the man who stopped asking for magic on the same day his wife stopped answering her phone is a man who made sure she'd never answer it again. Whether May 11th actually holds, whether this trial finally happens, or whether another continuance pushes it further into the future that Maya's elderly parents may not reach is a question nobody in that courtroom can answer with certainty, because every previous final date has been followed by another. Every previous assurance that the trial was imminent has been followed by another delay. The pattern is so established at this point that confidence in any specific date feels like optimism and feels more like something you tell yourself because the alternative is too heavy to carry than actual optimism. Maurice will be there on May 11th. She's been there for every hearing. She'll bring the same resolve she's brought to every courtroom, every search party, every press conference, every custody hearing for the last 5 years. She'll bring the weight of her parents' hope and the memory of a sister who saw what was coming and said it out loud. And she'll sit in that gallery and wait to see if this time, finally, after everything, the system will let 12 people hear what happened. Maya Millette deserved a trial that started years ago. Her family deserved answers that should have come before her parents needed help getting to the courthouse. Her children deserve a resolution before they were old enough to understand every word of testimony. None of that happened. What happened instead was a system that worked exactly as it was designed to work, and in doing so delivered something that looks like the opposite of justice. May 11th, we'll see. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. Weigh in there. I'd love to get your feedback. As we inch our way closer to this trial, we'll keep bringing you the updates as they come in. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. Substack, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever it is, hit subscribe. And then again, let us know your thoughts in the comments. Until then, my name's Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.